Hello, Internet. I'm Jonathan Cook. It's a miracle!
And I'm Matt Noble.
We'll auto-tune it later. It'll sound good. As you may or may not know, on the podcast this week, we're going to be talking about Netflix's The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I can't believe you haven't finished Game of Thrones yet.
Look, man, the US... They're cracking down on downloading. I'm not saying I'm downloading, all right? I'm not admitting to that. I'm just saying the environment as a whole might make it a slower process to watch all the episodes.
Oh, my. Well, have you avoided Game of Thrones spoilers?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, people went nuts over the last episode. They were just like, whoa, my GWTF. But I just sat in my room with my hands over my ears and my eyes shut tight for a good 48 hours.
You know nothing. You know nothing, Jonathan. You know nothing, John Cook.
Yeah.
Your name's even John.
I know as little as someone that spent 15 years in a bunker.
Yes, which brings us to the show we're actually talking about today, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Now, if you're not familiar with the show, it's a new Netflix show. I mean, Netflix, they're doing well. The new Netflix show, it's almost as good as saying the new HBO show. The new Netflix show from Tina Fey, one of our favourites from many things, but including 30 Rock.
Yes, she took the TV world by storm with 30 Rock. Won Best Comedy Series of the Emmys 3 years in a row, won Lead Actress, and really was the hottest ticket in TV almost. Like, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, Tina Fey, she shows a woman can be funny, which is a bit of a sexist comment, really. those people were made. I didn't make that comment. And, yeah, so there you go. She's back with TV, but she's not, and this must be an interesting decision, she's not starring in this show.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's busy. She just wants to, or doesn't want to be busy. She just wants to chill out a bit more. Decided to focus on writing, but instead of her playing the lead role, she's called in Ellie Kemper, who you might remember played Erin in The Office.
Ham 2.0.
And she's Pam 2.0, Tina Fey 2.0. Who will she 2.0 next?
I can't think of a joke.
Yeah, hopefully.
I was trying to think of something funny to say.
Matt 2.0. He can't think of anything funny to say anymore. I'm replacing him. It's going to be Matt and Ellie Kemper doing Screen Verdict from now on. So I look forward to that.
Should be good on the Screen Verdicts podcast.
you're going to talk yourself out of a job.
She's very bubbly and fun.
All the qualities that people have been saying the Screen Verdict podcast lacked.
Yes, bubbiality and fun.
So the premise of the show is that Ellie Kemper in middle school was convinced by a reverend that the apocalypse was upon them and that she and these other girls needed to seek refuge in a bunker. Now, the apocalypse did not come, and 15 years later they were rescued by the FBI, which we learned from a viral video type thing, which is where the show's theme music comes from, which I'm a big fan of. And she's pulled out of the bunker and then has to adjust to the world 15 years, essentially in the future, to her.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sorry, I should probably have my phone on silent. I'm just concerned that I'm getting text messages and that people listening to the podcast will think they're getting a text message. The generic iPhone text message ding. So I don't know, it's always annoying when you listen to podcasts, you hear that ding, you go, oh, someone's messaged me. And then, so yeah, if you heard that ding, you probably already checked your phone by now, but it's not your phone. It was mine. Unless, I guess, you got a text as well at the same time. Maybe you should check your phone just to be sure. Anyway, sorry, I digress. I'm glad hearing from you that was like a viral video, the theme. I didn't know that. I thought it was just like a news report that was done, like that was an interesting news channel that asked people to do raps.
But that's the way entertainment's going. I wouldn't be surprised to see Mel and Koshy remixes of the news each morning.
Yeah. They're all Jimmy Fallon to get blamed for that with his slow jamming. Yeah, so they're in the bunker.
Yeah, they get rescued
and... Well, they're not in the bunker, they're out of the bunker. They go on the Today Show.
And, I just think this is a great premise for a show. It's a very unique character, someone that's lived the 15 years in a bunker. I mean, I don't know anyone like that. It hasn't happened to me, so I want to see what that's like, how that plays out. So now they're adjusting to life in 15 years since they've last seen the world. I'd be very interested to see what the world is like in 2030, if I could just skip there, which is essentially what Kimmy has done.
You had to wait the 15 years, though.
Yeah, it's not quite... It's not that fun. It's not like just like you hop in the time machine.
Because we could lock you in a basement for 15 years, if you think that.
That is an option.
Yeah. I'll come down once a week with your food for the week.
All right, you entertain the listeners for the next 15 years, and I'll be back.
Yeah, and I'll come down every week with your food and go... Boy, some interesting stuff's happening. Oh, boy, you will not believe this in 2030. Just a very light. It's like just after something big's happened, I'll come down and go, oh, my gosh. Oh.
I can't tell you. I feel so sorry for you that I can't tell you.
Oh, you are going to flip. So yeah, but yeah, it is sort of cool that she has to discover the world as it is now.
And she's joined by an interesting cast of characters. She moves into an apartment with someone named Titus Andromedon, good name. And he is a very eccentric gay black man. He wants to be an actor or a singer, but he lives in this kind of dingy apartment and he spends his time just sort of moping about, making sassy quips. But I guess, you know, Kimmy is just infectiously positive. And we sort of skipped Kimmy. I'm coming back to Kimmy. Anyway, one of the best things about her character is that even though she's had this terrible thing happened to her, she just looks at everything as an opportunity and she's just amazed by all the new things in 2015, and she's just so bubbly and likable. You just want to give her a hug. She's just like the little sister that everyone would want.
Yeah, and it's always the show isn't really about coming out of a bunker as much as it is just about this very cheery, bubbly person in a world.
Hmm.
Like, it's this personality of her that drives the show.
Which is a great contrast to, I guess, the sort of sarcastic Titus. And they play off each other very well.
He's quite the character.
He is kind of like the... If Kimmy Schmidt is the Liz Lemon, he is kind of the Tracy Morgan of the show.
Or I think he's more the Jane Katzmarek of the show.
The who?
The Jenna.
Oh, yeah. What? Jane Katzmarek? What the heck is that?
Oh, yeah, that's the mum from Malcolm in the Middle. Jane Krakowski. Is that Jenna?
Jenna Maroney, yeah.
I'm sorry, me and Jane Kaczmarek and Jane Krakowski mixed up. Now,
anyway, while we're talking about her, Jane Krakowski's in the show as well.
Yeah, she might be the Jane Krakowski of the show.
Jane Krakowski plays, what's her name? I have it here.
The rich lady.
Jacqueline Voorhees. So, she is an impossibly rich woman who, employs Kimmy as a, I don't know, is she a babysitter? And she's just kind of a helper around the house. And, she's kind of dealing with this, absent husband and this kid that hates her. And, she's pretty funny in how, I mean, she's probably as detached from reality as Kimmy. You know, Kimmy hasn't been in contact with the world in 15 years, but she just has no understanding of any sort of monetary value or, you know, what is the experience of hard work or what other people, you know, what their lives are like. And it's quite entertaining to see how delusional her character is.
I agree. Do you think, like, I think if I was that rich, I would still keep in touch with the common man. Like, I wouldn't let it get to me.
You're the people's billionaire.
Yeah. I'd still, I don't know, get the train and things like that.
I mean, I'd probably take the private helicopter, but I'd be on the street shaking hands saying, look, I remember what it's like to take the train.
Yeah.
I'm still there with you on the train in spirit.
Yeah. I said if I was famous, I'd, like, still fly coach. So, like, I still fly economy. Because, like, and then, like, I'll sit next to someone and they'll be like, oh, it's Matt Noble. He still flies economy. Like, I'll tell my friends he's a regular guy. That I can be like, whatever I'm famous for, whatever I can talk with them about it, and it go like I won't try to talk about it, but I'm sure they'll ask me, and then I'll go like, oh yeah, like what's your view on that? Do you like I care about your opinion, you regular person. Like
nothing separates yourself from regular people like referring to them as regular people.
Well, I'll know their name in the situation. In the situation, I'll use it. Oh, what's your opinion, Dave?
I agree, regular Dave.
Yeah. And they go back, oh, you'll never guess who I got the plane with. It was Matt Noble. He was flying coach because he, like, you know, he's just a regular guy. And he actually cared about what I had to think about things. He's really on the pulse, Matt Noble.
Well, that would separate you from other celebrities, because I've been on a plane with three celebrities. I've been on a plane with Jeff Goldblum, Kate Mara, and, what's his name? Leslie Chow, Senor Chang. What's his name?
Oh, that guy. Yeah, that guy.
Anyway, we'll remember him from The Hangover and Community, and they all sat in business class.
Yeah.
There's no first class on domestic flights, but if there were, they probably would have phoned first class too. So when we're that rich, we'll be flying in the back of the plane with you guys.
Yeah, that's who we'll be. Although, to be just a disclaimer, I was at Meijer, which is like a Macy's equivalent, the other day, and I did like look at a sweater that was sort of nice, and so I thought, it is the store label. So I'm not a pleb.
I mean, this is the only thing in the store I can afford, but when I can afford more, I definitely won't be buying this.
Yeah. Anyway. So she's really good in this show, I think.
And I guess the final, well, yeah, okay. I'll say there's two more main characters. There you go. curveball. We have the crazy landlord lady. Let me find her name. Lillian Kaufstupper, played by Carol Kane. She is this funny older lady that's kind of always paranoid that the law's out to get her, and she's always coming to demand rent, but normally gets sidetracked with some crazy story about, like, a love affair or getting high. And she's just a kooky landlord. She's kind of like, she always seems to be getting involved in, like, schemes or something. It's almost as if, like, Kramer was Jerry's landlord.
Yes. Yeah, that's not a good... I found her a bit boring.
And I said there was two. I got to pick one. Well, could we even go to three? Well, I don't want to spoil the story, but there's a funny Vietnamese student, and there's a rich Englishman. And the Vietnamese student is called Dong, and he thinks Kimmy's name is. He thinks Kimmy's name is hilarious because Kimmy in Vietnamese means penis. We don't need to get into all the stories, but basically there's a whole cast of crazy characters for Kimmy to interact with. But we won't spoil that for you. But we did want to touch on some things in the show, like the bunker. The bunker is... the premise of the show, and we thought that was a pretty interesting idea. What it would be like to be stuck in a bunker for 15 years.
Yes.
Matt, are you afraid of the apocalypse? You know, is the bunker something that you're considering?
No. I don't know. I don't really get these bunkers. You're sort of like... You survive the apocalypse, maybe, but you probably won't. Because I imagine, like, surely 90% of things that are going to destroy the universe or the world or whatever, like, well, 90% of things that are going to destroy all living people in the world will probably get through a bunker, right? at some point. And if not, you won't know when to come out anyway. Is the aftermath of this finished yet? Because it could be one of those things where as soon as you open the door, the disease or the flood or the whatever comes in. So, and then you do get out. Let's say that all goes well. So the thing doesn't destroy the bunker. So you survive that and you open the door at the right time. Then, what are you left with? It's like nothing. It's like everyone's dead, and it's probably like, you know, you then got to start from scratch everything again. Like the electricity companies won't work, your iPhone won't work.
I don't know if he got to make the choice, but if I were Noah, I don't think I'd have picked you to come on the Ark.
Why not?
Well, you seem to just have a very negative attitude about the whole thing. You're like, oh, look, Noah, if the flood's strong enough to come out and wipe out, you know, pretty much the entire world, what makes you think that the Ark is going to keep us safe? And even if the Ark does keep us safe from the flood, we're going to get out there, all the crops will be gone, all our friends will be gone. Like, what's the point, really?
Yeah, point taken. Well, I guess it's worth doing. I guess it's like, if you know the world's going to end, it's worth a crack. And there might be, if there's a nice girl with you in the bunker, like, that could be cool. If you've got a couple of good... I reckon if you've got some good mates and a nice girl, it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well... because if there's just you and the girl in the bunker, yeah, you don't want them to feel... Like, on the one hand... They don't have any other choice. But you don't want them to feel like they don't have any other choice. So you probably want yourself and then someone else, but who's just a really bad option.
Yeah. I guess. I feel like if it's just a girl, right? That'll be fun, like, short term, right? Like, but if it's just one other person that you're with, it'll be pretty boring. Like, after all, you'll get sick of each other. Like, so you need a couple of mates, too, to just, like, level it out. And I think ideally some girl and some guy mates. Because you don't want the girl to feel like it's just, like, her tagging along with all your friends.
What? one girl and nine dudes is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Yes. So I guess, like, ideally you got maybe three good mates, she's got a couple of friends. Happy days.
Yeah. It's a party. Party in the bunker.
Charade nights. I don't know, we get an Xbox down there. Yeah, we good. So, okay, you've turned me on the bunker. I ain't giving fun.
Kimmy was in the bunker, I think, with three other women and the Reverend. And it seemed like they were the only thing they had to keep themselves entertained with was reading the Bible and turning the crank. The reason for turning the crank was not known to them. They just needed to turn the crank. I think the screen verdict bunker would be more fun.
Yeah, I feel like this is a problem. Everyone was a wet blanket in that bunker and they weren't doing fun things. Like, they didn't have some board games and stuff. They didn't have the Apprentice board game.
It's like, quick, Matt, the apocalypse is upon us. We need to get to the bunker right now. What do you grab?
Okay, what do I grab? My computer?
Yeah.
Because I've got, like, lots of photos and stuff on. Boy. What do you grab?
Computer, PlayStation, plunger, in case the toilet gets clogged.
Yeah, I'll grab some DVDs and a DVD player.
Yeah,
but I'd grab my West Wing.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to download in the bunker, so we'll need some legal entertainment.
Yeah. I think a couple of good board games would be good, but you want some risk type, some long board games. And you want some music too, don't you?
Yeah. Or do we have electricity? Oh my goodness. I'm going to assume we have some sort of electricity.
I think don't know who else is going to be in this bunker, but you probably want some prophylactics. Like, you do not want bunker babies. Fair?
Oh, man.
It depends on how long are you going to be in the bunker. Like, if this is a week, then you might not need to worry about stuff like that. But, like, if it's, like...
Yeah. because once you impregnate someone, once you get out of the bunker, you can just leave. It won't be your problem anymore.
No.
But if you're in the bunker, you can't really avoid the responsibility.
Having babies are messy. You don't want, like, to messy up the bunker. Like, I'm not sure how many cleaning supplies you have down there and stuff.
Right, so we want board games. We don't want babies.
Yeah. 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 No. Yeah, that's the thing. You, like, so if you're there for more than a year, like, you don't want to have to raise a kid in the bunker. But if you've gotten out of the bunker and you're back in the world, well, then at some point you're gonna have to address the raising babies, like, because you might have to decide we've got to repopulate the Earth.
Mm. So we'd do the bunker well. We'd have a pretty good bunker.
It'd be the party bunker. It'd be the bunker you wanted to be in.
Now, when we did get out of the bunker, let's say we were in the bunker for 15 years, like Kimmy Schmidt. Let's say it was 2000. We went into the bunker in 2000. We come out of the bunker in 2015. What are you most excited about to learn, to see in 2015?
Here's the thing, like, so much of what I know about the world is based on things. I'd be pretty stoked that Nikes are sort of still in. Sort of really like Nike shoes in the 90s. And then they sort of went out for, like, the thousands. Like, and they sort of come back the last couple of years. So sort of be stoked that we're back on the program with Nikes.
If you were wearing a pair of Nikes from the 90s, they might be worth a good amount of money.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, they're really cool retro sneakers. So I'd be pretty stoked about that. This is what the access we have to television and movies and videos.
You would have so much stuff to catch up on. You would be like, oh my God, I loved the first season of The West Wing. There are six more waiting for me.
Yeah. It'd also be like, and especially like since this is before most of the shows that I love now had even been created. So there'd be so much stuff to catch up on. But even just, I'd be like, just the idea of a DVD, which is becoming a bit superseded now anyway. Okay, what? I can buy every episode of Home Improvement? What? I can own the whole series of Home Improvement in a box and watch them whenever I want to. That's insane. What, someone's put it all on YouTube? I don't even need to buy it. There's just a website I can go to and watch clips. Well, I can make my own TV show and post it on YouTube with my mates.
That episode of Home Improvement that I recorded with my friends. I can finally get that out to the people.
I can do a radio show with my friend once a week. And, like, you know, we can put that for other people to listen to all over the world. Like, this stuff I would be blown away by. What would you be most excited about?
I'd be pumped that the Charlotte Hornets were still a team. I'd have missed the dark ages of the Bobcats.
Yeah.
I was a massive Hornets fan in the 90s, and they only just came back this year. So that would work out well for me timing-wise. Let me see. I'd probably be a little bit disappointed that Hanson didn't go on to be as big a success as they could or probably should have been. But JT's still just as big. I guess swings and roundabouts in regards to your 90s boy bands.
Yeah. I was, a couple of weeks ago, I was going to a friend's house and I didn't know exactly where it was. So I had the Google Maps on in my ears. And I was listening to some sick beats while doing that. And I was like, so I was running to their place sort of thing. And I was like, this is incredible that I've got something in my pocket that has so many, like, access to video and music and multimedia, like, you know, libraries and things like that. And I can just be like running around and listening to music, and then I'll be interrupted so that, like, some female voice can tell me when I need to turn onto certain streets. I was like, this is incredible technology. I would not have imagined that this would be a thing when I was, like, you know, in the late 90s. That I'll be running around while my, you know, location is being, like, monitored, and I'll be being told where I need to go so I don't need to worry about it while I'm listening to music.
It was before it was a lot of effort. trying to carry your boombox in one hand while reading a map in the other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the fact we've got access to so much information. Like, you know, some guy at a dinner party. I'd be so stoked that when someone says at a dinner party, and I'm like, this happened to me. Well, dinner party, like, we're not 40. Like, when someone, like, says to me when I'm hanging out at a party or something, they sort of go, like, I'll say, oh, that's a bit hyperbolic. And they go, oh, I actually looked up the meaning of hyperbolic, and that's not actually what it means. It actually is a mathematical term with shapes that I can actually, like, get out my phone and go, oh, let's check that. And then go, no, what I said was right. But your meaning's right too. But it doesn't mean my meaning's not right. There's two meanings to the word, you idiot. Like, like that people can't get away with, like, saying shit at, like, parties.
It also probably prevents a lot of bar murders. You know, if people are arguing in a bar and they go, no, the Dodgers won the World Series in 1942. Yeah, no, it was 1941. If there was no way to solve that without going to, like, you know, the library and looking up, you know, a book or something, someone's just going to shoot each other, shoot the other person in the bar. Whereas now you can just be like, well, hold on, I have this thing in my pocket that has access to pretty much nearly all of the information that humans have accumulated over the history of time, and I can just look up the answer to that question, and I don't need to shoot anybody.
Yeah.
And if I do need to shoot anybody, I can probably just order a gun on the internet on my phone, and it'll be here before closing time.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that. You can research things, which is really cool. And I think it's made us all more skeptical. Like, anyone makes any sort of somewhat interesting claim, we're all now like, oh yeah, let's look this up. Before you just had to believe people when they told you interesting things. Now we're all like our own like little mini fact checkers.
So, yeah, I went ten-pin bowling the other day and I bowled a 300 game. You'd be like, wow, that's amazing. Whereas today it's like, well, if you did, you probably would have Instagrammed it.
Yeah.
If there's no 300 game on Instagram, then it probably didn't happen.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's put the fear into the hearts of BSs at parties. anyway, so... Very exciting. What else do we talk about the show about? It's hard to, like, we don't want to, like, sort of just rehash jokes. Like.
I think we've probably intrigued people enough that haven't seen it. And yes. Probably digressed enough from the show for those people that have that we weren't just recapping it. So let's give season one of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt a verdict.
Yes. Do you want me to start?
Sure.
You might know. Do you know my boss at Gold Derby, Tom? Do you know Tom?
Tom O'Neill?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I've hung out with him in person, like, several times.
He's been on the podcast, like, 5 times as well.
Yeah.
He loves this show. And he sent us around, like, an email going, guys, you have to watch this show. Might even take you off the prediction charts if you haven't seen it. You need to watch this show. Like, so he was really, really gung-ho for it. And then I watched it, I'm like, not really feeling it. Not really loving this show. I don't know, for some reason wasn't hooking me. Like, I was finding a few of the jokes funny. The tone, I don't know, it just wasn't working for me. Then, like, my mum and sister got into it. So I started watching it with them because they wanted to watch something on Netflix. So we started watching it. And it grew, the more I watched it, it grew on me more. And I started going, oh no, this is really good. It's like 30 Rock, all these little jokes and pop culture references, and it's really clever. And I think what also helped is I started watching a lot of other of the new shows, like Transparent and Happy-ish. And those shows are so not funny. And like, you know, and even Orange is the New Black, which I guess is a drama now, but I was watching all these like Grace and Frankie, the Netflix show that I was excited about because Martin Sheen was in. And none of these shows are very funny. I was like, oh, it's really good that Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's funny. And there's some really clever little jokes and quotable lines and things. And Ellie Kemper's great. Like, I really love her. The supporting cast, I think, have their moments, but I'm not as in love with them as, like, maybe a supporting cast on Veep or Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So I'll give the Kimmy Schmidt a 7.5 out of 10.
Cool. Well, I'll start with the positives. I love the theme music. I love the premise. I love Ellie Kemper. She's just infectious and bubbly, and she just makes you happy watching the show. I think there are lots of laughs. The joke per minute ratio is great, and there's lots of big laughs. I think it's definitely a lot of hits. Pretty much the only drawback is, I guess, because they're going for so much, there are a few misses as well. The show, to be, I guess, lazy, has just a lot of random or goofy or just left-field humour. And sometimes it's clever and it lands, and sometimes you're just like, okay, that was a bit silly. It's almost as if maybe being on Netflix, there are less constraints, less people that they have to please in order to, you know, wrap the episode up. And I feel like there's been less filtering going on. There's less, you know, this worked, but this didn't. Let's try and do that. They just kind of just threw everything at it and just went with it, which kind of helps with the energy of the show, but not everything lands. But overall, was always excited to watch the next episode. I think it's really funny. Definitely recommend it. I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, I think I feel like from when we were talking a bit about it before the podcast, and we don't talk a lot about stuff before we podcast on it, so we can get our raw reactions. I feel like I got the sense you maybe liked it a bit more than me.
A whole half a point more, it would seem.
Yeah. So, housekeeping.
What do we have in housekeeping?
We've got a few things. As some people might know, I do some interviews for Roast Like Gold Derby. I got the chance to chat with Jeremy Piven this week.
Very cool.
Ari Gold from Entourage. I think he came somewhere on our best comedy characters of the past 20 years.
Yeah, I think he might have been around number 10, I'm going to say. Did pretty well.
Yeah, he was good, Ari Gold. So I tweeted him afterwards saying, because at the end of the interview, I had Jeremy Piven eating out of the palm of my hand. Jeremy Piven, because at the end of the interview, I wonder if I play a YouTube. Will that come up on your thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Let's see.
He lived an incredible life.
It's too loud.
A beautiful guy. Too loud, but...
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. So, okay, I'll get the volume right, and I'll just lining it up at the moment. So, I was talking in the interview. Okay, here we go.
Well, Jeremy, all the best with exploring that with the rest of season 4. Very excited to see it and hope it goes really well, getting more attention. And all the best with the awards and the Emmys, and hope you don't get into too much trouble for saying what they said not to say about PBS.
I may hold you responsible, man. It's just there's something about the Aussies. They make me feel very comfortable. I feel like I'm in therapy right now.
Oh, that's good.
There you go, making Jeremy Piven feel at home.
Yes, so I tweeted him, Jeremy Piven, thanks for talking Mr. Selfridge in the therapy style chat with me for Gold Derby, was fun, hashtag Emmy. And he replied, he tweeted me back, thanks for putting up with me, ! Was after shooting, so not sure what I said. Am I in trouble?
The funniest thing about this story was that you told me that Jeremy Piven tweeted you, and you were super excited. You're like, oh, Jeremy Piven is a big famous celebrity, and he tweeted at me. He replied to a tweet, and I was like, you do realize that you video Skype interviewed him for like 30 minutes. Like, comparatively, that's way better than a tweet.
That's a fair point. was a fair point. His lights went out halfway through the interview, right? And it was like that halfway through the interview. And he was so excited that his power bill hadn't been cut. Like,
is that a legitimate concern of Jeremy Bibbins?
I don't know. Here's the clip.
They don't have a lot of patience. So you can... Uh-oh. They turned the lights off. I didn't get my light bill, brother. Hold on a second. Let me do that.
Should I get the lights?
Yes. Holy shit, I look better in the dark.
What sort of terrible investments have Jeremy Piven been making where getting the lights turned off is a legitimate concern of his?
Yeah. I just thought that's one of my favorite things. Oh, sorry. That's one of my favorite things, that reaction when he turns it back on. The yes.
Hold on a second.
Like, it's so good.
Let me do
that. Oh. You don't get the lights.
Can we have a... We should get a soundboard for our podcast with stuff like this on it. Like... So just when something good happens, we can play the...
Yes!
when we do our beat cast, I've got a great one from Timothy Simons.
We'll compile a celebrity soundboard.
Yeah, a celebrity soundboard. And then, did you catch what Piven said afterwards? It was pretty good.
Holy shit, I look better in the dark.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go, Jeremy Piven, mixing it up with him, Emmy winner, Screen Verdict list citee, it was all good. I guess the other bit of housekeeping we have for you, Jonathan, is we made a bit of a parlay last podcast. I had a friend entering a dancing competition, I'd gone dancing with her. We were going to, like Silver Linings Playbook, put a wager in place.
Mm.
I was going to put money on a sporting event, and if the sporting event paid through and she won something at a dancing competition, she didn't need to come first or anything, just need some form of citation, then we'd get double, we'd keep the money we won, and then if she lost, if she didn't get a citation, we'll just reinvest that in another sporting game, sort of double down a bit and see what happens there. So that was the stakes. We were talking $10 investment. You said you'd match me, so it's about a $20 investment, $20 on the line, a lot to be made. So I thought we'd call my friend Kurt and see how she went at the dancing competition.
All right.
And we can also ask her how I am at dancing. I went dancing with her again this week. Tell you how great I am at dancing now.
Hello.
Hello, Kirsten. You're on the Screen Verdict podcast.
Hi.
Hello, Kirsten.
Hi.
So you can hear Jonathan, Kirsten, Jonathan, you can hear Kirsten?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay, that's good. I like it when these things, when communication works. Kirsten, we had a bit of a wager, Silver Linings Playbook style, on your dance championship that you were in the other week. Did you win a medal or a ribbon or what? A certificate? I don't know what they hand out of these things.
No, I won nothing.
Oh, no. Did you have fun?
I did have fun.
Oh, that's good. Jonathan, do you have any questions about the dance championship or dancing in general?
What were you aiming for? Was there, a finals, like top six made the finals? Was, you know, if you got a particular score, you got a medal. What was your aim going into the competition?
Well, my aim was to not fall over or hit my partner while I was dancing. That was my aim. So, yeah.
If you were taking it more seriously, if you had higher expectations, what would you have been aiming for?
I guess in my categories, which were the different categories, you can aim to make it to the finals, and you can either get first, second, or third place. So,
and how do you get to the finals? Is it based on a score?
Yeah, so there was five judges, and I think the scoring system is they watched all the competitors, and then they of, yes, they want them to go to the finals, maybe they might want them to go to the finals, or no.
Do you know what you got? Did you get a maybe?
My best score was I got 2 maybes out of 5 judges.
Oh,
it's not bad.
Do you need 3 out of 5?
I guess so.
Oh, we were one maybe away from maybe winning the first part of our parlay.
I feel like listeners are screaming at us. Cousin, did you fall over or hit your partner?
No, not during the competition.
That's good. That's good. I don't think we can count it as a win. But no, it's good to hear you didn't fall over, and you made your goal of not falling over and not hitting your partner.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, like, what was your experience level with dancing compared to the other people in the beginner category?
I probably had about a quarter of the experience compared to pretty much everyone else.
These people you're competing against were not really beginners.
We backed an underdog.
If only David O. Russell had written this dance championship.
Finally.
Yeah. Oh, my. The good news, Jonathan, I've got some good news for you. I forgot to put the money on the sporting game. So we haven't actually lost anything. And the team I was going to put the money on lost anyway. So it's really turned out well. It's a silver lining. We lost the bet, but we forgot to put the money on it.
Screen Verdict can afford to pay for bandwidth for another year.
Yes, we're there. And I guess, Kirsten, I have gone dancing a couple of times, not to a championship, just to a lesson or two. Do you think I have what it takes to go a championship?
In my professional opinion, yes.
Whoa!
There we go.
I'm that good.
Do you think you would have made the finals with Matt as your partner?
Oh.
No.
I was really, really expecting a yes.
Well, you wouldn't get to the finals with me as your partner either, so.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, give the honest response. What am I like at the dancing?
Good at concentrating and aiming to get it right.
I am concentrating a lot at these things.
I'm not sure if trying hard is a compliment.
No. Oh, but it's not true. Okay, very good. We'll get ready for the next one, and maybe we try to do a better parlay. Yeah.
And if your partner pulls out, Matt may be there to step in. He knows the routine.
Well, not really. But yes, very good, very good. And thanks so much, Kurt, for filling us in and making me feel better for forgetting to put the money on that sports team.
You are more than welcome.
Okay. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, there you go. This is Kirsten, dancer. You didn't answer. Huh. Are we done?
There you go. That's a podcast. We packed a lot in.
Like removalists?
Or survivalists thinking about what they'll need for the next 15 years in a bunker.
Mm.
So we hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll be back next week, maybe doing Jurassic World, Mad Men, Game of Thrones. There's a whole bunch of exciting stuff to look forward to.
You've got to watch Game of Thrones. Oh my gosh!
It's coming. It's like winter. It is coming. Until then,
bye.
See you.